You're listening to the Wall Street Update edition of World Business Report on Monday, the 1st of February. I'm Tony Bonsignori. Google has overtaken Apple as the world's most valuable publicly listed company after posting better than expected financial results in the last few hours. Shares climbed more than 6% in after-hours trading after Google announced an 18% rise in revenues in the last 3 months of 2015. Well, the results were released after Wall Street had closed, but on those valuations, it will make Google worth around $570 billion. That's more than $30 billion more than Apple. Paul Kudowski is a California-based venture capitalist. I asked him whether this was a significant development.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, sometimes these kinds of financial data is just noise, you know, kind of like cricket statistics. It's actually important because it has a lot to do with sort of the changing fortunes of the two companies. For, you know, Apple's been riding this incredible wave we euphemistically call sort of product market fit, where it's had the right products in the right markets at the right time, iPhone in particular, and really soared. And Google for a little while seemed like, not necessarily yesterday's news, but was almost becoming a mature technology company. And what we've seen recently is a real re-energization of its business as it you know, the growth was really taking off again.
So let's go back to Apple then. What does it tell us then about Apple? Is it just that these are two massively successful companies, but Google's doing a bit better right now? Or does it suggest that the baton is being passed on, perhaps in the way that it was from Microsoft to Apple a number of years ago now?
Oh, I think that's the second's closer to the case. I think this is an example of the baton being passed on. Apple is really in a quandary right now. It's got this position where the product that it's most reliant on, its iPhone products and family of products, really looks increasingly like a mature product. You know, the analogy would be analogous to Microsoft's Windows family that became mature and really led to Microsoft ceasing to grow. So the situation is very, very similar, and there's nothing really on the horizon from Apple that's large enough to make a difference, because if you think about the size of Apple, it needs $20 and $30 billion businesses, new businesses a year, to drive 10% year-over-year sales growth. That's a remarkably large new business, and so there's nothing like that in the offing for Apple. So there's your problem.
Let's focus on Google then, because these results are the most detailed we've had from Google, or from its parent company Alphabet, as right. They're now known. What they've done is they've broken out the main bit of the business, the Google, the advertising business, and the rest of it, the moonshots, if you like, the driverless cars and the research division, all the smart home accessories. What are these details that we've got? What do they tell us about how Google is doing?
So it's obviously two very different stories, because it's two very different pieces of the business. The core business, the business that we all think of as Google, which is sort of Google, the YouTube business, the search business, and of course the ads that run along top, is growing remarkably. You know, sales up something like 20%, 19% year over year to something like $17 billion, a little over $17 billion. You know, ahead of what analysts were looking for, which, you know, insofar as you want to pay attention to that sort of thing, is interesting just because it shows you that, you know, how quickly a business this size can continue to grow. So on the other side, you've got this experimental business, which is, you know, as you said, is some of their home automation and self-driving cars and health science, life sciences related projects. But I suppose the number that caught my attention immediately was, you know, that the losses are well in excess of $1 billion a year, which is a pretty remarkable number.
Any sense that some of those losses might at some point turn into profits? If you were a betting man, would you bet on any of these other bets, as they're being called in these results?
I would bet on the home automation side. I think Nest is a remarkable business. So I think that's actually one that, in a weird way, doesn't even belong being characterized as an experimental business. This is a real business and very credible in its own right. The rest of it is just, you know, stick your finger in the air, toss a dart, pick your metaphor. It's way out there stuff that's going to take a long time to pay off.
That was Paul Kudrowski there, a California-based venture capitalist. Well, before those Google results, it was a day of two halves on Wall Street, the markets falling earlier in the day before recovering mostly in the afternoon. Earlier, I spoke to Peter Yankowskis of Oakbrook Investments in Chicago. I asked him what was driving the falls earlier in the day.
Well, there were two things. First, it was the Purchasing Managers Index report in China, which indicated slowing growth in their manufacturing sector for, I believe, the seventh or eighth consecutive month. That sent Chinese stocks down. And then, of course, with slowing manufacturing demand, that had an offshoot on commodity prices. Principally oil prices. Oil prices dropped, I believe, more than 6%.
And then markets recovered quite a lot of that by the end of the day. What was it that was forcing prices up in the opposite direction?
Well, the vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, Stanley Fischer, was speaking to the Foreign Relations Council, and he provided some backdrop on the Fed's discussions at the last meeting concerning developments in foreign markets. He basically affirmed that why, yes, they certainly do take into account the volatility that we've seen today. And many people took that as a sign that perhaps the Fed will not be raising rates again anytime soon. I would say the follow-on statement was perhaps even more significant, is that he said we've certainly seen spikes in volatility like this in the past, and in general they've had very limited impact on the U.S. market. And I think that probably should have come away with being somewhat settling to the U.S. economy, because you know the Federal Reserve is taking a look at things and suspects that the U.S. economy is certainly going to weather these storms just fine.
Peter Yankowskis there of Oak Brook Investments in Chicago. And the final numbers, well, the Dow ended the day just down 0.1%, 16,449. On the commodities market, March New York light crude oil was down $2.3 at $31.32 a barrel.